Hello, this is Richard Munchkin, and I have with me today Colin and Ben from the Church Team. The Church Team is a blackjack team that was featured in the documentary Holy Rollers. You can see my review of that movie on richardmunchkin.com. And today I invited them to do this podcast because I wanted to talk to them about their recent speaking at the World Gaming Protection Conference. So, Colin and Ben, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Richard. It's good to be here.
Cool. So I read your email that you had spoken at the World Gaming Protection Conference and wanted to talk to you about initially, how did that come about?
Yeah, I got an email or a phone call from the people that put it on, and they asked if I wanted to come talk at it. And, you know, my initial reaction was hell no. You know, that would be helping the enemy. And I sent it, I think as a joke, I sent it to Ben and was like, hey, look at this. And then Ben responded, he's like, hey, you know, what a great opportunity to, you know, just tell him that you'll talk about what you want to talk about. And so I thought, well, you know, there's not much risk in that. So I contacted him and said, hey, if I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about, then I'd be interested in coming. And they asked what that was, and I kind of alluded to the things that I wanted to talk about, and he said that would work, and so said, sign me up.
Cool. And were you on a panel with other people, or was it just the two of you talking?
It was just me. It was Colin.
I thought Ben wasn't there.
He was there, but I was the speaker.
Yeah, I happened to be in Vegas at the same time. So I stayed an extra couple of days to hang out and to be a part of kind of the question afterwards. And I hung out at the conference and watched Colin speak. But Colin had one of the main keynote presentations. He did it solo for, I think it was Tuesday, which was one of the main days of the conference.
Okay. Now, in the email, I thought it said that Ben had some funny things to say, but I got the impression that you were speaking as well. But were those in the comments section, in the question and answer, or what was that about?
Yeah. Sure what you're referring to, but I might have been referring to some of what Colin said. And then, yeah, there was a lot of kind of conversation that happened afterwards that I was a part of, and throughout the weekend, that might have been what I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was actually pretty unique or even surreal that while we were there for a couple of days, people would come up to us and like they knew us because they did, and we'd never seen them in our life or never met them, but hey, I'm from such and such casino. I remember when you guys came through. Can I get a picture with you? So for a couple of days, we were having conversations with people that we were meeting for the first time, though they had known who we were for years.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild experience altogether.
That's funny. Blackjack players as rock stars. So what was the thrust of your speech?
Yeah, I've already recorded what it was, and I posted it to YouTube, but it's taking YouTube several days now to process it and approve it.
That seems odd. Why is that? Is it because it's too long? Or?
I think it's because it's half an hour long and I did it in high definition. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. I'll give you the link to that whenever that's done being processed. But to me, there were kind of a couple main points. One was, you know, I really introduced people to who we were outside of the casino world because there, you know, for me, most of the people in my life don't understand this blackjack part of my life. And that's where the documentary was actually really fun and interesting experience where people could get a glimpse into that part of our lives. But then for people in the casino world, they don't, you know, we're just these guys that come in and, you know, make their life hell once a year or whatever. And so, you know, trying to tell our story or my story in a more personable way. The second thing was the whole issue of kind of objectification or treating people like a number. And I apologize for my part in that there were times early on in my career where people that, you know, human beings that were in casinos, I treated just as a means to an end. And it was something that further into my career, I began to really regret and realize that I could live more consistently. You know, I'd go home, be with my family and treat people with respect in a casino. They were, you know, people that I had ill will towards and treated poorly. When I got over that, I actually felt a lot more free in casinos and out. And then the third issue was just talking about some of the things we feel like we've learned. We have an interesting story, kind of financially and business and all that stuff. And some people think we're crazy that we're not trying to do blackjack for a living. But for us, card counting was a means to whatever we thought a fulfilling life would be. And realizing that the pursuit of money didn't really wasn't the goal. You know, that talking about that, which I expect to be pretty unpopular.
Wasn't a good goal, at least.
Yeah, it wasn't a good goal. I figured that would be a pretty unpopular topic, but it's something that we believe really, really deeply, that goal is a means to an end, or it's a tool, not a great goal in and of itself. So those were the three things I really talked about.
What do you mean about treating them badly? I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, when I enter a casino, I sort of don't really treat them at all. They're they're just sort of there as I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. A few stories, you know, there's one story I remember where there's a casino that had these calendars. And on the back of the calendar was a whole bunch of match plays and Ace as a free card and stuff like that. So they were really valuable to us and on our tiny little bankroll. And so we were buying as many as we could buy a day. And there was a situation where I went in to buy one. I think they were $10. I gave them $10, and they came back with 10 of them. And I took them and left. The next time I was in the casino, the floor supervisor came running after me and yelling at me, saying I owed them a bunch of calendars. And I said, well, see you later. And I left, and I just, you know, let the rest of the team use them. And I always I realized, like, man, if I was at a grocery store and they gave me – I paid for one stick of gum, they gave me 10, you know, maybe I'd take it. But then if they said, hey, we gave you 9 extra sticks of gum, you know, I'd say, oh, here you go. Have your gum back. But something about being, you know, it was like us against them. I didn't live the same way I would live the rest of my life, and that was something I regretted. That's – one small example.
You know what? I think I've experienced the same thing. You know, if I were, say, in the bank and I had cashed a check for $1,000 and the teller inadvertently gave me $2,000, I absolutely would say, hey, you gave me too much. Whereas in the casino, if I bought in for $1,000 and the dealer gave me $2,000, I absolutely would keep those chips. And life is a series of gray areas. I don't know how, you know, we each have to reconcile why that's okay. But yeah, it's an interesting area.
I think for us, Richard, this panned into everything that happened from the second we stepped foot in a casino. You know, we were there to make money. And because of the adversity between the casino card counter advantage player relationship, is we basically looked at every dealer, every pit boss, and kind of by proxy, surveillance personnel, as just a means to an end, you know, or just an obstacle to overcome, which there is some truth to that in terms of, you know, it was a cat and mouse game and they did make our job more difficult and things like that. But I think because of our mindset, it actually caused us to live a completely disintegrated life from something that we're proud of. And we basically pursued money at the sake of relationships and people. And it's something that neither of us were proud of. So, you know, even when we made nice comments, oftentimes, and I think not everyone deals with this, or certainly every card counter or advantage player does at some point. But, you know, we might make a nice comment to a dealer, but it was just because we wanted a better cut. You know,
sure.
Really, they're a human being. You know, they have kids. And if we were to run into them anyplace else, like, both Colin and I's goal is to help people and to reveal certain degrees of truth and love in ways we can. That's not a unique goal.
Maybe a better example than the calendar one. That was just one that stuck out where I knew I was going against my conscience in it, but it for whatever reason it seemed okay because it was a casino employee that was yelling at me. But a better example would be getting backed off. And early on, I'd get backed off and I would argue and fight and, man, screw them. they're terrible people. And it's, you know, it's probably the most stressful part. I started to realize it's like the most stressful part of a casino employee's day, where they have to come up to me and, you know, kick me out or whatever. And when I started to realize, oh, they're just a person doing their job, and, you know, this is what they're being told they have to do, I stopped taking it personally. I started to, you know, if I got backed off, I'd say, okay, I hope I didn't do anything to offend anybody. I'm going to miss playing here, you know. And treating people well, I actually felt a lot less stressed out in the process. Sometimes they'd still cuss me out or cuff me or whatever, all that stuff's happened to me. But at least I know that I'm treating them the way I would want to treat someone in any other context.
Did you have any qualms about being there and exposing your faces to the surveillance people?
I don't think our faces are protected. Our faces are all over the internet and Netflix at this point. So I wasn't worried about
it. We kind of gave that up, you know, a long time ago. But, you know, I do want to note that we are extremely cautious about the contacts that we have and the relationships that we have. And that's, you know, we consider that confidential. So we're not flashing pictures of active members or teammates or anything like that.
Yeah.
Friends even.
Sure. Sure.
Paul and I are liberal with ourselves, you know?
Yeah. There were people coming up afterwards asking for my advice on how to back off card counters. And it was like, sorry, I'm not here to help you with that.
Well, you know what? I'd tell
you know what?
To do.
I like, would.
Be nice
I,
about
I,
it. Yeah, totally.
Well, that's what I did say. I said be honest with them and tell them, but they wanted to know, you know, should we do a baccarat burn? Should we half shoe them? Should, you know? And I was like, well, that's really up to you guys. I would be honest with people and just tell them.
So, you know, I did one of these conferences as well. Back in November, I did one called What You Can Learn from Table Games Players Who Are Smarter Than All of Us. And like you, my first reaction was, why would I want to do this? And yeah. I kind of got talked into it by Max and Anthony Curtis. And I was like you. I said, you know, as long as I can say what I want to say. But I was not willing to kind of show my face. You know, so basically I said, look, if I can call in on Skype, Max and Anthony Curtis were on a panel and I was, you know, in the ether talking from Skype. You know, my thoughts about it were, as long as I can be absolutely honest, I believe that I can and only talk about the things that I'm willing to talk about, then I think I can actually tell them things that are true that would actually make things better for both sides.
Yeah,
and I absolutely. Think that's something a lot of people fail to recognize, is that there can be win-win in
yeah.
situations like that where you're helping them. My biggest pitch to them was, you guys are costing yourselves an enormous amount of money
Absolutely.
Worrying about something that you really shouldn't be worried much about.
That's what I want to talk about. To me, that's the unexplored territory. And as I've just been thinking about this, you know, card counters notoriously accuse casinos of acting in this Neanderthal mob mentality, you know, philosophy from the 50s. And we can see it, and it's just bad for business, for them even. But, you know, I've come to realize, I think we're kind of the same way in how broadly we've painted the stroke of defining our enemy. And, you know, I've wondered, especially as we've started talking with more surveillance guys, it's strange how many of them are actually on our side. But
you
I
know,
think
I was
because we want an enemy, we're not letting them, you know, we're not letting it happen.
It's also been my experience that the people with the most empathy for us as players are the surveillance people.
Absolutely. If you know, it's funny. I was thinking about the blackjack ball, and no one – it's being an advanced player is kind of a funny thing, of course, we all know. No one really cares outside of the community except for one other community, and that's surveillance. And part of them would want to be there for bad reasons to get people's pictures. But part of them is we're their heroes. You know, we're the bad guys or good guys. But a lot of them really love advantage play and advantage players, and they have more respect than any other community on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not saying we should open the doors and let them in necessarily. But,
no,
but what value is there, you know,
yeah,
knowing that information?
Yeah. And I, you know, I correspond via email with some people who work in surveillance or have, or and I thought, you know, often it's some of the, you know, shift managers and things like that, or security people who kind of have a macho mentality and want to sort of show how tough they are. And those are the guys who are telling, you know, security to handcuff you and do things like that. But, you know, I thought with surveillance people, if I were to do a conference like you did, I would put my cell phone number up on the board for all of them to take down and say, you know what, if I'm in your casino and you see me and you think I should leave, just send me a text.
Yeah.
It says time to leave. You know, I'll go.
With a free buffet.
Yeah, well, even without the free buffet. I mean, I would go, totally.
Well, and we had, you know, this is an interesting situation that we had come up during our team, and we had a guy come up and talk to us afterwards. But while we were playing, there was a casino in the Midwest that we were using just to train players. You know, so they're betting red chips, maybe spreading from 5 to 25. You know, 100% no threats to the casino. And they were getting put in Griffin for doing that because of just who they were associated with. So finally, I call up the surveillance manager and I say, come on, let's, like, are you serious? Like, can't we work something out? And we actually developed a relationship, but in the course of it, she said, I can't do that because of the powers that be and because of what it would look like and this, that, or the other. And I was like, that is so, what a lose-lose, you know, that we can't make a deal with a casino. And it's actually better for them if we kind of declare a truce and say, we're going to train, we're never go over $25. And in return, you know, you just leave us the hell alone. And it was cool because after the talk that Colin gave, a surveillance manager came up to us and said, man, I would be so willing to work out deals like that, you know, that are just a win-win.
Sure.
Of like, you know, and it's not like we're turning in players or anything, but just like, just leave us alone and we'll leave you alone a little bit. And it's just, it's good for business on both sides.
Right, right. And the other point that I made when I talked at the conference was, you know, you have to look at the player in total, not just what he does at the blackjack table, because there are blackjack players that maybe they're playing a winning game, maybe not, but okay, they move their bet with the count. But if you look at the rest of his action, you know, does he go play craps? Does he go play slots? Is his wife on the slot machines?
Yeah.
And, you know, to throw people like that out is insane. And and another example that just I reminds me of something out of the book Catch 22 or something, you know, is the story of Casey who got barred for playing craps, you know, won $1 million playing craps and got barred. And then Wynn said, you're welcome to come play here. And he basically lost almost all of it back. And you think about what those casinos cost themselves, barring a guy from playing craps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's really just done for this mentality, you know, of there's a lot of honor involved. And that's where I think the type of thought that we're going into in Blackjack Apprenticeship and just Colin and I personally is trying to think, you know, we don't want to just be stuck in just the old way. Like, I want to start to think about both spiritually and personally and professionally, how can we actually, where is the truth in this? Kind of like what you said. And one of the things that we shared, Colin shared at this talk, which was really cool, was we shared aspects of our team that we had never shared with anyone else publicly. And it wasn't because it was super off limits, just because a lot of people don't care, don't ask. But we figured these guys would. So kind of to your point, what kind of good information can we give that's honest, but also helps, doesn't ruin things for card counters? We shared like, what our team should have won, EV wise, and how much we actually did win, and it was shocking. You know, our team performed way under, like many other teams that I've heard of, performed way under what we should have done, and it was far less of a threat than what some of these surveillance guys or casinos saw, or just normally see when they think card counter, they think, oh, we gotta, you know, this guy's a major threat.
So
in fact,
can you share that with me today?
Yeah, sure. It's also in the video thing that I did, but our team, you know, according to EV, we should have won 12 million and we won between 3 and 4. And that was one of the interesting things, you know, Tommy Hyland said every major team he knows of underperforms. And, you know, that was the stuff that would keep us up at night. But the casino is just thinking we're this huge, you know, or they're not thinking about that side. And then we played 500 casinos, roughly. And so I thought it was fun to do the math that we actually cost, we won about $1,000, something like $1,000 a day. But if you break it down to what we cost each casino a day, it was $3.
Yes.
And we're the most, you know, maybe not the most, but one of the more feared card counting teams when we were active. That's at least what we heard from surveillance people, you know. Flyers are being sent around whenever we're in Vegas. And I was like, really? Because we're costing you less than your surveillance team's coffee budget?
Right.
You know, just to say, just to put things in perspective. And, you know, another thing, this was like one of the most embarrassing as far as from managing the team. But it was like a third of our players didn't even make a profit. We had about a third of our players that kind of they won as much as they cost in terms of their salary and traveling. And then a third, you know, performed really well. And so even going back to that idea, they're kicking out their players on our team that weren't very good, that are getting kicked out just as much. So just, you know, trying to show the other side that they probably don't see and that, you know,
we thought we took training seriously, you know, so we were not just a couple guys getting together on a weekend and sending people out to casino. So, you know, you think if that's what we produced, who else are they kicking out, you know, that they
right.
should be letting play? And one funny story was, you know, it's kind of common knowledge, at least in terms of you can find it out there, that our team, you know, we probably moved about 40 players through our team in the course of its existence. And when we talked to one of the surveillance managers, he said that the rumors out there were that we had 125 players at one time, you know, at one time. So how they perceived us was just, it was so unrealistic. And, you know, I guess I'd be scared if I was them too, if that's how you see it.
And what was the reality? What was your high point in terms of number of players?
Maybe 20 active players at once. And that was for a shorter period of time until we realized we couldn't manage that scale. The quality was too low and, you know, cut back. It was normally around 10-ish active players at a time.
That was kind of fun to hear, though, that we were, you know, the folklore from the other side, that we were being rumored of, you know, being this huge giant.
Right.
It reminded me of how William Wallace said, you know, William Wallace is 6 feet tall and has fireballs coming out of his arse. Like, that's how they saw us, you know?
Yeah. All right, great. Well, I want to thank you guys again. Anybody interested can visit their website, Colin Bed's website, which is blackjackapprenticeship.com, and they also run a blackjack boot camp for players who are interested in learning how to count cards. Thank you very much.
Richard, real quick, just to end off, I just want to express, you know, we have a lot of respect and reverence to the advantage play and card counting communities. And we're not trying to move on from that. We're not trying to profit from our experience there. But we are wanting to maintain the same level of integrity intellectually and in every other way that got us into it, which is by asking the hard questions that are worth asking and pushing the dialogue into what is going to be the next 10 years of card counting looking like, you know, and I think it would be a shame if we left the scene the same way that we found it. And I think there is room for evolution and progression for both parties. Our primary interest is in really, you know, I hate casinos. Like we want to, you know, this is in no way, people that know me, and that's why it gets so frustrating. I'm sure you know the types of comments that are made about this type of thing. So I just want to set that record straight and say, a lot of the dialogue that we're starting, it's not that we've like changed in that we're selling out. And anyone that has a question about that, they're welcome to come ask us, you know, but we do want to push the conversation. So we appreciate that you're willing to engage in that.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks a lot, Richard.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
All right.